I want to continue our study of the doctrine of creation. Thank you for being with us here on the Let the Bible Speak program. I always appreciate those who tune in. And if I can encourage you to come visit us at one of our services, we would love to have you. You can learn there as well. You would be our honored guest. Come visit us at 290 Warfield Boulevard in Clarksville, Tennessee, the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ, where we speak the truth in love. We're looking at the Bible doctrine of creation. And last week, we talked about how that from a biblical view, creation was an act of God. It did not come about by a big bang or purely naturalistic evolutionary processes, but God. And number two, it was a free act of God. He willingly and lovingly chose to do that. This morning on the program, I'd like to look at two more principles of the biblical doctrine of creation, how that God brought forth something out of nothing, and how that God created and it was accomplished by His Word and His will. And before we get into this further study, I just simply wanted to remind us of sort of the big picture of why I am doing this. It's not just simply to talk about the physical creation and how we have the physical universe around us. It came about by God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But also to remind us of the importance of all things that God creates, and God also creates Christians. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature, literally a new creation. And so, friends, we're not simply wanting to think about God creating the physical universe, but allowing God to create us and become a new creature in Christ. And we will be making some of those parallels this morning when we talk about God's powerful word. But keep that in mind as you listen and study with us in this series of the biblical doctrine of creation. It's all that God creates. He creates the physical, and He also wants to create us in Christ. And one day, He has created a new heavens and a new earth for us in heaven. And it's a new creation. And if we obey Christ and live faithfully each day, we can be a part of that new heavens and new earth. And so the biblical doctrine of creation encompasses also the spiritual creation in Christ and that future new heaven and new earth, where we can worship God around His throne in heaven. So, we continue on. Genesis 1:1, a Bible passage that many people are familiar with. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. There are basically two choices with regard to our physical universe. Either matter and material things are eternal and have always existed, and then at one point there was a big bang and physical things created other physical things, and then we eventually evolved from this primordial slime, and you have these sea creatures or amphibious types of things coming out of the primordial slime, and then they eventually evolve into other kinds of animals. Then you get on up to apes and monkeys, and then they evolve into man. That's one idea. Or that a spirit being, a personal being, has always been in existence. And I believe the latter, because I believe the evidence is for a designer behind the design. And Big Bang explosions do not design the integral design that we have today. Intelligence designs intelligence. And we have that. We have intelligence. We have mind. We have thinking. We have communication. We can put words together. We can put sentences together. Not only with our mouths, but Did you know that the DNA structure in your body is a sentence? It's a communication at the cellular and atomic level. And that is a communication. Well, we know that intelligent beings communicate. And so, just briefly there, the evidence is for intelligent design, not haphazard, random, chance possible design from a Big Bang explosion. You can take letters and put them in a box and explode them, but you're not going to get sentences. You're not going to get words. When all of those letters fall down to the ground, you can get the letter A, and you can get the word A or the word I. You can get that. But you start putting letters together to make words, you're not going to get that from an explosion, and you're certainly not going to get sentences, and you're not going to get paragraphs, and you're not going to get stories. And yet, when you look at the DNA inside of us, it is strung together in a very, very intricate communicative way. It is sending messages to your body to function properly. And so intelligence is the cause behind that effect, just like in our text messages, in our tweets, and in our Instagram posts, in our Facebook posts, there's intelligence behind that communication. So it is with God's creation. And so it is more reasonable to believe in intelligent design, and not just any intelligence, but the God of the Bible. So as we continue forward, let's look at two more principles of the biblical doctrine of creation, and that is that creation was brought forth out of nothing. We use the Latin ex nihilo, ex, out of, and nothing. God created something out of nothing. In the beginning, God and the Godhead are eternal, but there was no matter existing alongside of God. God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit being divine, being deity, they are eternal. They are existing before anything else existed. They did not exist alongside of physical matter. Just a few Bible passages to remind us of these great principles. In Psalm 90, for example, and verse 12. Psalm 90, verse 2, not verse 12. Verse 2, behold, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou didst form the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting thou art God. It's in contrast to man's transitory nature. Later, we might live to be 70 or 80 years old, and then we die. In contrast to that, God is eternal. Verse 2, he was before the mountains were created, before the earth and the world was formed. We have, for example, in Proverbs chapter 8, that great proverb about God's wisdom. Proverbs chapter 8, verses 22 and following. We won't take time to read all of this. Jehovah possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, before the earth was. When there were no depths, I brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. And so forth. God's wisdom in his mind and in his words existed before creation. And we have other passages that demonstrate that. So before God began to create the universe, nothing else existed except God himself. Remember in John chapter 1, we read this passage last week. In John chapter 1, God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, we made that point, were working together in creation. And remember the statement in John chapter 1 that all things were created through Jesus Christ. John 1 and verse 1, in the beginning, this is the same in the beginning, like Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him. Not some things, not most things. All things. Our Jehovah's Witness friends say that Jesus was the first created thing that God made. No, all things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that has been made. That would include Himself, and so that would deny that doctrine of the Jehovah's Witness. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that has been made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. All things. Look at Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16 with me. Colossians 1 and 16 with regard to Jesus. For in Him, Jesus, were all things created in the heavens and upon the earth, things visible and things invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things have been created through Him and unto Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist or hold together. So, all things were created by God. Therefore, God, the Godhead, existed alone before all things were created. In Revelation chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, Revelation chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, talks about God sitting on His throne. And when these heavenly beings are praising Him, one thing they praise Him for is His creation. Revelation 4:11, "Worthy art Thou, our Lord and our God, to receive the glory and the honor and the power, for Thou didst create all things, and because of Thy will," and we'll get into that in our next point, "they were and were created." They exist now and have existed. And so this is very important. Somebody says, well, why is that important? Well, the Hebrew writer actually brings this matter up in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 11, and we referenced this last week. "By faith we understand that the worlds have been framed by the Word of God, so that what is seen has not been made out of the things which appear." In other words, we don't have what we have in the physical universe simply because there was already physical things, and God just simply revamped that, remodeled that, and gave us the universe that we now have. There was absolutely nothing. And God spoke that into existence. God has the power to call things into existence that did not previously appear. So, what is a ramification of that? Well, in addition to the great power of God's Word, which we'll get into in just a minute, one ramification of that is that God is eternal, but matter, the physical matter of the universe, is not. This physical universe is slowly winding down. We know that biblically, and we know that from a physics level. In the mid-1800s, Lord Kelvin and others discovered what became known as the second law of thermodynamics. And that is that all physical things in a closed environment, I'll explain that in a minute, in a closed environment, all physical things slowly go from order to disorder, or they go from having energy to no energy. They go from greater to lesser. And the term that they used was entropy. We would just say today, things are wearing out or things are running down. That's just how we would word that. But the scientific term is entropy. So if something is hot, it eventually cools down. If something is running, eventually it stops running. And as long as you're in a closed environment where you're not continually, from an outside source, feeding energy, it's going to run down. And a great example, just a simple example, is a flashlight. You put batteries in a flashlight, you turn it on, eventually that light is going to go out. That light is made by battery energy. That energy is running down. There is no such thing as a perpetual motion machine or a perpetual energy source where nothing ever has to be added to that. If you want to keep that light going, you have to put new batteries in it. So our universe is a closed universe, and it's running down. And so we step in and we put new batteries in and keep that flashlight going. But our sun, for example, is slowly burning up. And even people that don't believe in God, even your classic atheistic physicists, they will all say the sun is slowly burning up. And things in a physical environment slowly wear down. They slowly go from energy to less energy, from full to empty, and so forth. And that is the second law of thermodynamics. It's been proved over and over again in the physical world. It's just a classic premise of modern-day physics. And it's also biblical. In Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 10, speaking of Jesus, he is God, he is deity, John 1, 1 through 3. And he was a part of making creation. Hebrews 1:10, "And thou, Lord, in the beginning didst lay the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou continuest. They shall grow old as doth a garment. As a mantle shalt thou roll them up as a garment, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail." So biblically speaking, even the Hebrew writer understood this in the first century, long before Lord Kelvin and the modern day physicist. And he spoke this truth, that physical things are wearing out, and that includes our universe. So one day it's all going to come to an end. God is eternal, but matter is not. Now, that doesn't mean that the spirit part of us will not live on. We live on after death in our spirit or our soul. I'm just talking about the physical universe. Of course, our physical bodies are proof that things grow old and wear out and die. That is a part of this entropy process. But things are wearing out. Things are burning up. Things are being used up. And that also has a ramification with regard to the origin of the universe. And that is that if things are wearing down, that implies that there was a starting point. That implies that there was a point in which all things were completely brand new. And so matter cannot be eternal. Matter has a starting point, and from that point, it slowly wears down. Just like when you put the batteries in the flashlight, they are brand new. That's a starting point. That's the highest point in which they will ever have energy, when they're brand new, and then they wear down from there. And so matter has a starting point. That's very important. And more physicists and others are realizing that. When I was young, it was common to say that matter always existed. It was eternal. It never had a starting point. And people are starting to pull away from that. Now, the modern day physicist, who's an atheist, he doesn't want the starting point to be Genesis 1 and verse 1. He still wants that to be something physical in nature. But they waffle on that, and some are still holding to the Big Bang, and they say, well, what started the Big Bang was a black hole, and when they're pressed on that, they don't really know where that came from. They have some theories there, but they are coming around to saying that the physical universe has a starting point. When Richard Dawkins, the great atheist, was pressed on this, and it wasn't that long ago, maybe 10 years ago, when he was pressed on this, when he was asked, well, where did the universe come from? He said, well, the Big Bang. And then somebody asked him, well, where did that come from? And he said, well, probably a black hole somewhere. And then when he was pressed on that, well, where did that come from? He just kept pressing him on it. He finally said, well, maybe some aliens, space aliens from another universe, came and started our universe. Well, in his mind, there's no problem believing that. In his mind, that's rational and credible and scholarly and scientific. But when I say God came and said in the beginning, let there be light, and I'm chided as stupid and uneducated and non-scientific and this and that. The great Richard Dawkins, when he says it, everybody applauds him. Oh yeah, aliens out in the universe. I'm fine with that, but I'm not fine with God. That doesn't make sense. So he's allowed to have his creator. I'm not allowed to have mine. When you press him on it, some of them are coming around to a creator, but they still have not come around to the truth, and that is, in the beginning, God. And I know why. There are a number of reasons, but one reason why some will not come around to God being the creator is that God requires a certain lifestyle. And you know that, friends, to be true. And so if we just remove God from our mind, then we don't have to live according to his word as it is found in scripture. Remember Psalm 14 and verse 1, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. But it doesn't stop there. It gives us some insight into why a fool would say that in his heart. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. Jehovah looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there was any that did understand, that did seek after God. They are all gone aside. They are together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge? Who eat up my people as they eat bread and call not upon Jehovah? There were they in great fear, for God is in the generation of the righteous. Yea, put to shame the counsel of the poor, because Jehovah is his refuge. Oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion. When Jehovah brings back the captivity of his people, then shall Jacob rejoice, and Israel shall be glad. There are people that choose to serve God, but in the first four verses, there are people who don't, and it's because they want to live any way they want, including filthy and wicked ways. So, God brought forth something out of nothing. Matter does not exist for eternity, but God does. The second point that I want to talk about is that creation was accomplished by God's powerful word. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And if you keep reading that great account, you find the statement, and God said, verse 3, and God said, verse 6, and God said, let there be a firmament, verse 3, God said, let there be light, verse 6, God said, let there be a firmament, verse 9, God said, let the waters be under the heavens, verse 11, and God said, let the earth put forth grass, and so forth. God said. God's powerful word. God said, and there was. Paul referenced that in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 6. God said, let there be light, and it shined out of darkness. This is important, friends, because we begin to learn. Somebody says, well, a big bang, that's really powerful. Well, that's slowly being even debunked and discredited, even among unbelieving physicists. They're moving on to some other theory that's kind of run its course. But they want power. They need something that's very powerful. Well, what's powerful is God's word, just to say something and it come into existence. I love Psalm 33 and verse 6. By the word of Jehovah were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathered the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up the depths in storehouses. Let all the earth fear Jehovah. God's powerful word, very important. Verse 9, for he spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. There was no gradual long eons of time where random chance evolution took place. This is the theistic evolution approach, where I believe in God, but I also believe in evolution, so I need billions of years for the universe to be formed. They've brought the number down to about 14 billion years. Maybe eventually they'll get it down to a time frame that matches Genesis 1 and 2. But billions and billions of years so that there can be this random chance evolution. No, he spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. Let there be light, and then it didn't take billions of years for that to happen. And there was light. Any person just reading plain English can understand that. And so, God's powerful word in Psalm 148 and verse 5. Psalm 148 and verse 5. Let them praise the name of Jehovah, for he commanded and they were created. We read earlier, Hebrews 11 and verse 3, that by faith we believe that the worlds were created by the word of God. And so it's not something that is random chance evolution, and it's just sort of doing it on its own. The worlds have been framed by the word of God. Peter recognizes this in 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. He eventually talks about the flood, but before he does that, for this they willfully forget that there were heavens from old and the earth compacted out of water and amidst water by the word of God. Friends, creation was accomplished instantaneously by God's word. And when he would say something each day of the 6 days of creation, he would say something, it happened. That is power. And I want to bring that to a close this morning on our program to understand Romans 1:16. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. God's powerful word made the physical universe and creation that we have. God's powerful word through the gospel makes us a new creature in Christ. And the reason it's important to remember that is sometimes people think, well, you know, I could never be converted, or so-and-so could never be converted. Yes, you can. God's word is very powerful. It can humble the proud heart. It can make pure the impure heart. It can stir up and make active the lazy heart. You pick any person on the face of this earth, no matter how bad they are, no matter how wicked they are, they have an opportunity to be changed by the word of God. Now, they have to hear and believe and obey. They certainly have to do their part, but God's word is very powerful. And we see that even in the New Testament times, whether it's Saul of Tarsus, the Apostle Paul, or the wicked Corinthians or others, God's word can change individuals. So, God brought something out of nothing, and God created by his word and his will. His loving word, his loving, compassionate, kind, generous will made all of this around us, and it can make us a Christian too. Friend, why won't you let it do that in your life today? We thank you for being on the program, and we hope that you'll have a good day.